Hi-dee-ho, everybody. I hope you guys had a wonderful weekend. I did. I had a much-needed weekend. I had 2 days off this week. I didn't work. It's been a long, very stressful week at work. I don't know how stressful it can be delivering packages, but it becomes stressful when, you know, you have a lot of issues that you're kind of like dealing with. And the days were long, and the hub was getting us out of the hub late. People who were doing the sorting, I don't know if it's their fault. I think it's transportation's part of it, but anyway, they're getting us out late, which, you know, we have to drive a couple hours to get to where we're going to make deliveries. And, you know, when you're 2 hours behind, it always kind of seems to add another hour, hour and a half on the backside of when you're running behind. And, so we've been getting home late, a lot of issues like that. So it was really nice to have a weekend to sleep in. Usually I'm up at 5:15 in the morning, and it was nice to sleep in, get a little extra sleep and relax. Saturday I was able to kind of go for a bike ride, which I've been wanting to do for a while. I checked out a couple of paths and stuff that were close here. I want to do a little bit more off-roading. These paths weren't that per se, but some beautiful scenery along Utah Lake and everything. That was really nice. And went out for a couple hours, and that was great. It was a beautiful day, man. Sunny outside, like those big fluffy clouds, you know, that were in blue sky, big white fluffy clouds. And it was just a nice day, and I was able to do that, so I was very happy. Sunday I was able to go to church, and that's always a good thing for me. I really do. It gives me a chance to re-energize the spiritual side of myself, not so much the work and all the physical stuff, but it allows me to go in there and kind of like reset my scale, reset my compass, you know, to true north. And when I go to church, I try to go there and I try to say, okay, you know, of course we take the sacrament or, you know, communion or whatever you want to call it, and you try to, you know, made certain covenants and promises when I was a young kid that I would obey God's commandments and try to do as well the best I can, you know, and it helps me to be able to renew that every day and to refocus those things on a spiritual level. And also, you know, we have some speakers that are asked to speak on certain topics and things like that. It was just a good day at church. I really like and I really appreciate going there and kind of like recharging my battery, my spiritual battery. And when I do that, it seems to recharge everything about me. And I I've said this before on my podcast, that I think that's something that is needed in this world today. I think we're getting farther and farther away from church and God, and we're starting to lose our way. And we've been losing our way for a while, and the farther we get, the more people that don't find religion important in their lives. I think we're seeing that, the effects of that in our society and what's going on in our society. And I think it's avoidable, completely avoidable, if people start going back to church, you know, working on their relationship with God, and their religion, and understanding the principles and the standards that are there, which are there to keep us freer and to keep us happier and to bring about more joy than we could have normally, you know, what we think we're happy with. People have substituted, you know, going to church for a multitude of different things, you know, baseball, football, basketball, hockey, going to the beach, going camping. I love camping and, you know, like getting back in nature, you know, and people, you know, think that that's like a substitute for it. And there's really no substitute for going to church and religion. There's not. You just don't get the same concentration and spiritual growth that you get by going to church and going doing these other activities, which are not bad activities. I'm not saying they're bad, but they just don't provide the same kind of benefits that you get from when you go to church. And I'm telling you, we really need to start looking at ourselves and our families and our children, and you know, what are we teaching our children? What are our children being taught today? And we need to be able to offset that, some of this really awful stuff that's being taught in the world, and you know, and stand up for these truths, because it's getting harder and harder. And and as you're reading in the news, unless you're just deaf and blind, you can read it in the news, you can read it everywhere about what's going on. And a lot of this is because we've lost our way, and we don't worship God like we should. We're worshiping other things that are more important. And we need to avoid that and get back to church. I really do. It helps me through the whole week. I really do. That being said, you know, one of the things that we are fighting extremely hard is the essence of who we are as individuals, as human beings. And there has been some pushback on this whole transgender ideology and teachings in school and things like that. We're starting to see more and more stories of people and families and parents who are fighting back, especially when it comes to children in schools. Most of the attitudes of a conservative left, and if you want to call us radical, go ahead and call us radical. I don't care what you call me. But most, I think you'll find most conservatives and most people who are center and left, even people who are liberal, have a tendency to lean which tend to be conservative and right, and then the left and liberal a little bit to the left. They're pointing out the differences in what we're seeing today. And most of it has to do with who they're targeting, what the message is that they're sending. And none of these people, if you listen to any of these, watch any of these videos and any of these commentators that are talking, they're not talking about your choice to choose whatever you want to be and whatever you want to do. You have a right to do that, right? You have agency to choose whatever you want to do. You want to believe you're, if you're a female, you want to believe you're a male or the opposite. You're free to do that. You know, you are absolutely 100% free to do that. And nobody's going to say anything to you. You know, I went through all this in the 60s and the 70s with the gay movement, gay and lesbian movement. And, I don't agree with the philosophy, but, you have to allow people to have agency and choose for themselves. And the whole idea was let us love who we want to love, what makes the difference. And, And then a few years later, things were passed where they were able to do that, and that's fine. And basically, they just wanted to be left alone and let them love whoever they wanted to love, okay? Be partners whoever they wanted to be partners with. Today's idea and today's ideology is completely different. This isn't just something that is let me live my life and I'll live it the way that I want it. I'm not going to post everything on Facebook. I'm not going to post everything on Twitter or Instagram or TikTok. They have to feel like they have to push their agenda. Play. Everybody has to agree with them. Everybody has to be in sync with what they're feeling. And that's completely opposite of what the gay and lesbian movement was that I'm aware of, and that, you know, I have gay friends, and that's their idea is let me love whoever I want to love, and that's great. You know, that's fine. That's your choice. But there's a different movement now. They have moved from an adult making decisions to do those things to pushing these ideologies in schools, elementary schools, books, teachers, and educational professionals, board of directors, educational board of directors are all pushing this ideology in schools, where now we have drag queens, which I never thought in a million years that we would see drag queens, you know, in our schools, in our elementary schools. It freaks me out thinking about it. It freaks me out because I'm glad I have my children are grown and they're through this, and I can't even imagine what it would be like as a parent having to have a child come home to me and say, hey, we had this drag queen come in and he was like naked and slinging his penis all over the place and blah, blah, blah. I would absolutely probably go ballistic if something like that, if I was raising my child and going through that. And I can see why there's such an irate, starting to be an irate exchange in these people who are defying these kinds of behaviors and these kinds of things that are happening in our schools. And people who are accepting this, you know, parents who are accepting these ideologies and these things and hurting their children, and they just and they're doing it what they think is in this mode of I need to show love for my child, and let, you know, they're telling me what they want and what they need, and, you know, listen to them. And I've never in my life have ever come from that side of the aisle where a 6-year-old or an 8-year-old knows what they want and can tell me what they want to be, and then I'm supposed to be as an adult. I'm supposed to be an adult. I'm supposed to be the person who is supposed to be helping them and understanding these things and pointing them in the right direction. I read a story. I read a story that was on my Facebook feed the other day, and it was a mother who was talking about her daughter, and she had a couple pictures up there of her daughter when she was little playing soccer, and then I think she was 23 now or something like that, and she had she's getting ready to get married, and just a beautiful 23-year-old woman, and she talked about how as a little girl, you know, going through playing soccer, that she wanted to be a boy, and she wanted to do all the things the boys wanted to do. She, you know, to the point where she wanted to be able to go pee-pee standing up like a boy does. And the mother, instead of getting into a long, arduous discussion about sex and sex positions and things like that, she would just say, no, you can't, because you're a little girl. The little girl would come home from school and because she wanted to dress and, you know, she wanted to wear boys' underwear and she wanted to, you know, wear boy clothes and stuff. And a lot of her friends were mocking her and ridiculing her and calling. She came home and she said, you know, hey, mom, people were calling me lesbians or something like that. She didn't know how to say the word. And the mother just very succinctly said, oh, those are people who love, you know, who, like, a girl loves a girl and a boy loves a boy. And that's where she left it. She didn't say anything more. And the little girl just went on her way. It was perfectly okay for her to do that. And she had these little different experiences through her lives. But eventually, as she got into high school and she got towards high school, she started changing. She wanted to start wearing, you know, girls' panties and things like that. And she started acting more normal towards what her gender and her sex was. And she worked that out. All that was part of her growing. All that was part of her becoming a female adult, right? And she needed to go through that. And she had a very loving parent who understood, you know, let's don't be aggressive with it. Let's just answer the questions, be honest, and be truthful and show, you know, be truthful and always pointing out, no, you're, you know, I know you like to be a little boy, but you're a little girl. And then just left it at that. She didn't make any more. And now she's found somebody to get married to. She's just beautiful, and she's getting married, and, you know, and the whole 9 yards. It's really a great story, and I contrast that to what we get today. You know, parents are not allowed to be parents to their children if they deny a person, a child's gender affirming care and all this stuff. And if the child can actually be taken away from the parent because the parent is trying to teach the child the truth. And we've gotten so backwards on this. Where parents can lose, like I said, they can lose control of their child. And like we're thinking that government can't do anything right. They can't even run the government correctly. Okay, and now they're going to assume that they can teach my child standards and principles and faith and things like that. I'm responsible for teaching them. They are not responsible. They're responsible for educating them, teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic. They're not responsible for taking my child away from me. I mean, if I ever thought in a lifetime that my child could go to school, and then the board of directors or the school could take my rights away as a parent and deny me the ability to be able to teach my child the ideas and philosophies and religion and truths that I want to teach them and instill in them principles and standards, that I could lose my child simply because I disagree with what the school says, I would have never put my kids in public schools. I would have worked 2-3 other jobs, and you know, my wife was trying to stay at home at the time, and we wouldn't have settled for that. There's no way that I'd allow somebody else to, you know, nobody else to raise my child. In fact, when people would try to interfere with how I raise my child and come to me and try to be some kind of authoritative person over them, I'd say, you need to mind your own business. You have no say in how I raise my child, you know. And I appreciate your input, but, you know, mind your own business. It's getting crazy out there. It's getting unrealistic out there. And we're starting to see this now. We're starting to see people fighting back. And I don't like to really to use the term fighting back, because I don't want to denote any kind of violence or anything like that. Because, you know, again, we live in a world where just disagreeing with somebody is showing violence to them. Anyway, so I use fighting back kind of hesitantly. I do like to say that we're finding a voice, and you know, our voice can collectively can be just as loud in the opposition of these things as those people who are promoting these kind of ideologies and these doctrines. And we're starting to see this now. And one group that I was hoping to hear from, because of, you know, going through that time period of watching this take place, is the gay and lesbian community. The transgender and all these other little subsets of the gay, the LGB portion of this thing, you know, who they've attached themselves to, I think because of pride and all these things, just to kind of like make their case and then make their cause a little bit more justifiable and believable. We're starting to see what's the name of the group? It's called Gays Against Groomers or something like that. And you're starting to see these groups starting to speak up. And I am, to tell you the truth, it's exciting to see this stuff because they even see it. And I'm starting to see this Gays Against Groomers people, that gay and lesbian community, are starting to use TikTok and Twitter to express their opinions about this, about pride and everything. And I wanted to play a couple of these testimonials, these people getting on. I mean, they're taking the time to get on TikTok and Twitter and actually voicing their opinion, which is kind of really kind of cool. Let me play this for you. Let me play this for you. All right, listen to this. Okay, I think I got it here. Listen to this.
They didn't walk away from pride. Pride walked away from me. And they went in a direction that I don't agree with. And I will fight against this agenda along with Gays Against Groomers.
I'm a 37-year-old lesbian butch, and I'm done with pride. I used to go to these parades since I was 15 years old, when it used to be about celebrating ourselves and fighting for equal rights. But since we have it, we don't need it anymore. And we definitely don't need them to push it on the children and sexualizing children.
As a gay man, I am absolutely done with Pride. I'm sick of the orgies on parade. I'm sick of being pandered to by corporations who hate me. And I am so sick of seeing children being groomed by naked men.
And here's a couple more that I'm starting to see on my feed a little bit more, and it's getting more and more of these as the days go by.
As a gay man, I'm done with Pride, because it's gone from being a movement to empower a disenfranchised minority to forcing the most grotesque things down the innocent throats of the public man, woman, and child who must conform or become bigots.
This is Avani. The reason why I'm done with Pride is because I'm tired of the sexualization of children. I'm also tired of the eroding of basic biology. I am a trans woman, not a woman, and there's nothing wrong with that.
As a gay man, I am personally done with gay Pride events until they can get their act together and stop having children at these events with full-grown adults being naked. I will not attend any one of these events anymore.
So here are a couple of the comments and replies to these videos on Twitter. One of them was just got back. Back to the LGB and separate from those that co-opted our movement. That's one of them. Good point. Impossible to keep up with the alphabet soup. Another one. My brother came out in 21 though from Wonder Woman and Madonna. Let me see what. Number one was keep fighting. You are doing what's right in a world where that's seen as evil. Love you all. May your power grow and cause a shift back to sanity. Another one is we need to protect our children. Thank you for taking a stand. One of them here says, I don't know about New York City, but I witnessed the first gay parades in California in the 70s and 72. And they were over the top sexually perverse events. They were in your face events, and now they want the kids too. Their own bedrooms aren't enough. Another one here is I'm straight, not trying to be cruel, but an identity built around sexuality is bizarre. Which is true. Another one, powerful testimonies. Thank you for sharing this and for standing up against this awful push to sexualize children, harm their bodies, and remove them from safe spaces. Another one, again, thank you for standing up for children. God bless you and your efforts in your messages. And on and on and on and on. I really hope that this movement continues to take hold. You know, I think we're the voice, the loud and obnoxious voice that we've been hearing from the left for so long, and the bullhorns and the megaphones and the screaming at us, and you know, this whole movement in sports, women's sports, and taking away the achievements and the greatness of college athletes and professionals, and losing their opportunities to gain titles and to progress their own sport and progress their own professions, and it's all being halted because of this quote unquote transphobia, this transgenderism, and it's being abused in a way that I just, if you read these comments, they just it's being abused in a way that these people never thought that it would be abused. And it's taken over. It needs to be corrected. It really does. And that's why I want to go back to what I was talking about earlier about being a peculiar people. Now, yes, these people are peculiar. they're trying to normalize, you know, the normal taboos and things that we have come to know and kind of like revere and respect in the world today. The thing that there's something right and wrong in the world, and you have to choose between right and wrong. And now it's just eliminating the taboos and making those taboos normalized, and that's what they're trying to do with the children, and that's what they're trying to do with women's sports. That this is all natural. This is something that is just natural. It's part of who you are, and it's really not. It's just a complete and utter fallacy and a lie that's being perpetuated on this. And that's not the kind of peculiar person I was trying to talk to you about earlier. We need to be peculiar in a spiritual way, in a God fearing way, and standing up for what is the truth. I mean, we have to get back to our government officials being as honest and having integrity as possible. And we don't have that now. And it's a shame to see bureaucrats, school districts and things all follow these things. I mean, we're to the point now, to tell you the truth, we're to the point where you can't really visit a therapist because a family can't take their child to therapy anymore because the risk of losing your child because you're not confirming or affirming what the child is feeling at 6 years of age. And the therapist can't do that because they're under strict guidance through, you know, what is it, affirming care, that they have to affirm everything. First of all, they have to affirm first, and there's no discussion. You can't sit there and say, like the mother that I was talking about earlier, about how she dealt with her daughter who, you know, thought she was a boy, wanted to be a boy, and she handled it perfectly. And but you can't do that. So the system has hijacked therapists. They've hijacked surgeons. They've hijacked physicians to the point where they are all being threatened if they don't follow and toe the line on this gender affirmation and gender affirming care stuff. They can lose their license. They can. It's incredible. We saw the same thing with COVID, where you had doctors who could prescribe something that would be of benefit to their patients when they've got COVID, but they weren't allowed to prescribe it. They weren't allowed to talk about it. They were taken off social media because it was contrary to what the narrative that the government wanted to push, which was vaccines and masking and staying in your house and being isolated, which now we know has turned out to be a complete and utter failure and fallacy, and it wasn't based in Dr. Fauci's science. It was based on people who wanted to control us. And then you have this taking place, and it's the same thing. They wanted to control you as a person and not let you go to church or go outside and play. They wanted to keep you in the house. You couldn't even go visit grandma when she was in the hospital. You couldn't go and visit somebody who was dying in the hospital. They had to die alone because of COVID. And now it's just the same thing. Now parents are losing their rights of their children to be able to raise them and be the authority over their children. Now government's taking over. School districts. Like, these people don't even know who your children are. School districts are the ones that are now dictating to you what you can and what you can't say to your child. In fact, they're hiding things from you. They're teaching your children to lie to you and be dishonest with you. What's that going to do to that child? What is that going to do to the relationship? What is that going to do to that child as they get to mature? That they've been taught that they can't trust adults. They can't trust their parents who love them. This is what the schools are teaching your children. This is what your higher education is teaching your kids who are getting out of high school and going on to upper level education. Listen, this idea of peculiar standing out in a good way, in a good spiritual way, in a religious way, has been something that has been a savior in my life. It gave me direction. It gave me a purpose in life, right? And not only that, not only did it help me as an individual, but it also helped those that I was in their circle of friendships as well. I believe that they benefited from that as well, because I don't say that because I think so. I'd say that because I had my friends tell me that exactly, that they were influenced in a good way because of my standards and my principles that I didn't that I didn't betray. That's the thing, and who knows? I mean, it wasn't that I was trying to, you know, convert everybody to be LDS. I wasn't. I was just living principles that I thought would make me a happier person, that would make me a more complete human being, a better father, a better husband. You know, that's why I did it. That's why I wanted to. And I was right. You know, it'll work for anybody if you just try, if you just put the effort into it. But you got to start somewhere. And you know where you start? You start by getting up in the morning on Sunday, putting your Sunday's best on, and taking your family to church. I don't care who you are, where you go to church and start listening and start applying the principles and start the standards and listen to what's being taught. These people, these churches are not they're not full of people who are full of phobia. Okay, they're full of people that love their fellow man. Okay, they love the individual, they love the family, they love their children. I mean, honestly, and these teachings are there to teach you how to love better. Okay? Yes, some of the things that you learn are going to be hard to hear. In fact, they might even make you a little upset, but that's okay. It's okay, because when you hear the truth, sometimes it should be offensive to you. It can be offensive to you when you hear the truth, when you're so used to living a certain life or a certain lifestyle, or you want certain things, and you hear an opposing view on it, which is true, you are going to feel angry. You're going to feel like, oh, I don't want to come here. This place makes me feel guilty, blah, 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 blah. It's not there to make you feel guilty. It's there to make you think and to draw you closer to that which is actually going to help you to be happier. But you got to go through some change. Listen, religion in any form is all about change. Okay, you need to look at your life and say, how can I change myself to bring myself in line with the principles that will bring about happiness? That's what it's about. Okay? That's what it's about. How can I understand that living God's commandments isn't pressure on me or trying to keep me down, but it's trying to free me? We know the results on the other side. We're seeing them. We see them now. Okay? We're seeing the results of this other religion that's taking place. All the secular ideas and things. All these different ideologies. And what do we have? We have a lot of anger. We have a lot of confusion. That's not the purpose. That is not what you're supposed to be feeling. You're supposed to be feeling like you're progressing in life, that life has a purpose, that life has a purpose for you as an individual. That's what you need to feel. This is why we go to church. This is why we have religion in our families, in our society. And people who are religious bring about changes in society, and society is a better place because of religion. And there's no questioning that. And if you're questioning it, then go back to church, start getting on your knees and praying, and understand it, learn it, understand it. Hey, that's all I've got today. I know there's a lot of other stuff in the news, Trump getting indicted and all that stuff, and I'll try to talk about that a little bit on my next episode. But this stuff is really important to me, as you can probably tell, and man, do we need to stand up and be counted and, dare I say it, be a peculiar people. Hey, have a good week. Thanks for listening. Hey, visit me on my website, robscottpodcast.com. If you get any messages, please email me at rob@robscottpodcast.com. Get online. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, or any lovely platform you like to listen to your podcasts on. Give me 5 stars. Please share with your friends. I'm like anybody else trying to build an audience here and love to hear your comments, pros or cons, I don't care. Let me have them. And until next episode, be safe out there, okay?